Today I want to talk about the idea of purpose. I think understanding purpose, and even understanding it far greater than I currently do, is really important to us. I started with the question in my own mind, is the definition of impulse the activation of purpose? In the Christ letters, Christ talks about impulse as preceding things. So I think impulse and purpose are both essential to understand. Now I wonder if all activity is preceded by impulse, which could be another way of saying our purpose is seeking expression. Most of us know about procrastination. Procrastination is an activity. It has a purpose. Perhaps the impulse, perhaps the purpose is to not do something in order to achieve something. If I use my energy model of life, the purpose of our activities might become clearer. If I use the truth of existence, as Christ described it, the purpose might become clearer. If I use the four driving needs of the ego as my frame of reference, the purpose may become clearer. And I could also use the idea of needs. I use Sfuli, S-F-U-L-I, plus two, as a frame of reference. If I drew four columns on a piece of paper and then titled the first column Energy Model, I would have six items underneath that. Acquisition, the second would be preservation, third translation, fourth expression, then release, and then the sixth item would be closure. Those are the elements in my energy model of life. If I use the truth of existence, I'd have a vertical list of nine items that Christ talked about. The first one being growth, then healing, nutrition and nourishment. The third being healing, the fourth being protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, and the ninth one, the law of cause and effect. If I use the third column to define the ego's four driving needs, there would be four items underneath that. And simply put, I have in my mind defend, then the second one, finish first, the third, take all the best, and the fourth would keep it all. And that's defend ourselves from criticism and emotional physical attack, finish first in the race of life no matter what kind of opposition we may encounter, take all the best for ourselves no matter who, what wants to participate in that. And then the fourth is to be able to keep everything that we have gathered, friends, relatives, status, money, property, territory, power, influence. If I use my Sfuli, S-F-U-L-I plus two, I would have a total of seven items under that column. Survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity. The sixth item would be the need to be right, and the seventh would be the need to look good / get approval. So let me go back to procrastination. Maybe the purpose of procrastination may be preservation, if I use the energy model, protection, if I use the truth of existence, defending oneself, if I use the ego, and then maybe being right or looking good, getting approval, if I were to use Sfuli plus two. I think we can become clearer about our purposes if we use one or more or even other ways to view it. If I say to you, your purpose is to be more like God, you might freak out. Now, the people who usually relate to me wouldn't freak out, but I suspect that many more fundamentalist religionists would absolutely freak out at that statement. Be like God, are you crazy? That's blasphemy. But then I'd ask a fundamentalist Christian, if Jesus Christ was God, or was he the Son of God? Then I'd ask if being more like Jesus Christ was a worthy goal. And then finally, I would ask if that makes the goal of being more like God worthy as a purpose. One of the main philosophical problems I have with Christian religions is their dogma of Jesus being sacrificed for our sins, and that makes us saved. If we believe in Jesus, we get a free pass, get out of jail free. There seems to be little or no responsibility in that case for us to be like Christ or to be like God, because we're already saved. I'm saved. I think this must be the one main concept that's the real impediment to the purpose of raising our own consciousnesses to be like Christ's. The question, why should I? I'm already saved. I don't have to do anything. Thank you, Jesus. Now I just need to get back to doing the human things that I've been doing all along. You know, some of those things are considered crimes or considered sins, which, of course, is... that's okay, as long as I don't get caught. If I can get away with it, I'm good, because I'm saved. That's a scary sense and a distortion of purpose, in my opinion. If everything is consciousness, it makes sense that understanding and experience the highest forms of consciousness would be a great purpose. People say, I want to be healthy. That's good. But that health is a symptom of consciousness. And the fact is, it's not commonly understood. The same is true of happiness, wealth, success, fulfillment. They are all symptoms of consciousness, just like illness, suffering, scarcity, and unhappiness would be symptoms of consciousness. In our culture, here in the United States, we think the solution to these symptoms, which are misunderstood, and they're considered to be the problems, they're not considered to be the symptoms, is the solution is outside of us. We go to the doctor, the pharmacy, the store, the bar. We try to buy an item to make us not notice the symptoms. While we won't say this to other people, I would like a bottle of success. Or, do you have capsules of happiness? Do you have some sort of liquid that would produce my health? Please, just I'll take some. We believe and behave as if this is how success, happiness, and health get fixed. And it sounds kind of silly when I say that, right? In conversations with clients for the last 15 or so years, this concept became clear to me. I call it not enoughness. Capital N, not, capital E, enoughness. And I hear this concept spoken either directly or indirectly as a part of the client's fundamental issues and problems in life. It is this feeling and this belief in not enoughness that drives human beings that we read about in the front pages and of newspapers and magazines and then hear about in the news to do all kinds of things. They are chasing something, trying to eliminate the pain of that not enoughness, and it's really a shadow. I want to say that our main purpose in life is to satisfy our soul's God hunger. We're always searching for that more. I know there's more, which we think will fill us up, will satisfy us. Billionaires do amazingly cruel things to get more money. Alcoholics drink more poison. Smokers smoke more cigarettes. Gluttons eat more. Workaholics work more. People with OCD obsess more. We stress more. We fight more, thinking this will lead to the more that will finally help us to break through into, I don't know, some sort of field of sunshine and happiness. I'll use all these negative strategies, and it's going to produce the more I've been looking for. Probably not. The false purposes, and there are probably a lot of them, but here are the two that seem relevant at this moment to me. We get tricked into believing that by doing more and by having more, we will be more. And just the opposite seems to be true. As we be more, the doing and the having will satisfy us. And frankly, it'll be a lot easier. Doing and having, because they are so physical, plane oriented, and because they are so five sense oriented, are often driven by the ego's purposes to fulfill its needs. I can smell it, touch it, see it, feel it. Oh yeah, yeah. This is real. And those purposes certainly don't include balancing our own self-interest with the self-interest of others. They certainly don't include brotherly love, and even more extreme, they do not include unconditional love. That is not how the ego would tell us our purposes are. I had the image of a conscious drop of water in a conscious ocean of water. And the drop, believing it was alone and not enough, wants to be more. And it wants to protect what it is up to that point, its own sense of self. I'll call it the dropness. I gotta protect my dropness. And like us, that drop doesn't realize it can allow the entire consciousness of the ocean to enter it if it would only relax its force field, its boundary that it's using, and its thinking is what protects it and defines its individuality. By relaxing, it makes itself more receptive, more permeable, more porous, so the reality that it is more already, it is more already, can penetrate. The ego would say, I protect you, while the soul would say, you are divinely protected. You look around and go, let me see, which of those is really workable? No matter how many things that we do on an ego level to try to protect ourselves, we are reinforcing the idea that we don't believe we are protected. Consequently, we have to take these other steps, these strategies, these tactics. I think our communication can probably be even more complicated by generational memories transmitted along with the DNA, and if we add in the consciousnesses of our parents, like, whoa, I got my soul, I got my ego, I got generational issues, I got my father's consciousness, my mother's consciousness. Whew, wow. Well, when we do something, or set out to do something, or to just establish a purpose, with all of those things going on, it's like a cacophony of noises in our heads. Like, it's like, wow, inside of my head is like a mob yelling at me, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, no, that's wrong, that's bad, you're going to fail, all kinds of stuff. Like, whew. Be very difficult to be clear about purpose with that kind of stuff going on in our heads. Got to be one of the great values of meditation. Like, let me quiet down this crowd so I can hear something with a higher level of awareness. Purpose to me seems to be it's a unifying energy. It is the consciousness of a whole bunch of thoughts and actions bringing stuff together. The other day I attended a girls' soccer game in Orlando. We could say that each team has the purpose of winning the game. And if we just stop there, I think that would be simplistic. But I bet there are a whole assortment of reasons for the girls on the field and maybe the coaches on the sidelines. Be a star. Don't make mistakes. Position yourself to get a college scholarship for your athleticism. Don't disappoint your father or mother or your coach and probably others like that. Maybe the coach wants to be recognized as a good coach and gets a job offer to go into junior college or college as an assistant coach. The team I was cheering for, my granddaughters, played poorly and it lost 1-2. They lost the next day as well. I didn't get to see that. But made me wonder if the purpose of the individual players on those individual teams was the differentiator. Was the purpose clearer and more powerful for the girls on the winning team than it was on the team that lost? Was it the coach who was able to bring the purpose into focus better for the girls on his team than the coach on the other team could do? I think the answer has got to be yes, but I'm not certain of that. However, in life, I encounter people all the time who haven't clearly defined their purposes, or they've been forced into a purpose by parents when they were growing up. You will be a fill-in-the-blank, follow me in business. You have to be a doctor. You have to be this. You've got to take over the business when I retire, that sort of thing. In other cases, people say, gee, I want to do something so dramatically different than what my family has done up to this point, but that purpose was inhibited. You can't make it a living being an artist or a musician. No, don't do. You know, get a 9-to-5 job sort of thing. So some purposes are enforced, others are inhibited. You know, that's a problem. Then, even if we could choose our own purposes, there are other complications. Is the alignment or misalignment with our personal values? It's like, my lips say I want to earn more money, I want to earn more money, I want to earn more money. But is that true? Is that really a driving purpose for most people? In studies, the answer is no. That is on a list, shows up 7, 8, 9, 10 on the list of most important things that drive a person's performance. If you look at values, you know, what's your value? What's your value regarding spirituality or education or money or family? And I'm thinking that even the values that we have about those various areas, and I would use the 12 worlds to structure that, you know, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, financial, career, social, leisure, community, political, maintenance. We have different values, and you can see, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. Oh, I must do that. I must do that. It seems to me that even values have different vibrational levels. Maybe there is a soul value of love, respect, consideration, kindness, those kind of things. The ego value, of course, is like, no. It's about defense, number one, and then taking everything, and no matter how offensive I might be. And it's like, okay. Maybe even values derived from Sufuli, and maybe values derived from the truth of existence. What are your values relative to growth, or nutrition and nourishment, or healing, or protection, or fulfillment of need? We were like, this is what I see as being important. These are my opinions. Yep. I wonder if there is a depth of purpose that we can manage. Much like, say, the coach of the girls' soccer team, could we look deeper for purposes to any activity that we want to engage in? Now, it's very easy to choose a surface level, a superficial purpose. But if we go deeper and deeper and deeper, it's almost like we're gaining more energy. It's almost like we're growing roots that will sustain and support us. So the other day I was talking to somebody about interviewing for a job. He was considering that in that process. So I'm thinking, in a job interview, the person could think, my purpose is to get the interviewer to like me. Okay, that's a good one. To get the job offer is my purpose. To get hired for the job is my purpose. Okay? To get paid is my purpose. To succeed in a job is my purpose. To get promoted and paid more is my purpose. To gain status and power within that company is my purpose. To retire wealthy and powerful is my purpose. Okay. All of those could be true, but I wonder if those viewpoints effectively tap into divine consciousness's intentions for us and others. If we could align with the energy of divine consciousness, which is going in these nine directions that I mentioned earlier, growth, nutrition, and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, and so on, like, if I could align with that, that could be cool. But is it realistic for a job interviewee to think in those terms? Not only as the recipient of the job, all I want to do is get the job. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You got to get to the point where you understand that part of your purpose, in my opinion, is to have divine consciousness work for you, in you, and please don't forget this, to work through you. That's your purpose. Allow divine consciousness to work for you, in you, and through you. So, if you want a job, that's the place you're going to allow your throughput to make a difference in that company, for the people that you work with, as well as for the customers or clients of that company. It makes sense that a person who does that would be in such a better position in a job interview. I was thinking, purpose. Is purpose analogous to the mortar? You know, we hear about bricks and mortar, that the mortar is the stuff that holds the bricks together. Is that what a purpose is? Does it hold a person to their course, to their path, to the decision that they made? Is it the glue that attaches us to the object of our attention? And how about, I've been thinking of handyman stuff, is purpose like the fasteners in the structure that we want to create? Nails or tacks or screws or bolts. Is that what purpose does? It helps us bring and hold the structure together. It certainly seems that purpose draws people and things together, right? I mean, just think of it. Isn't this why people form groups or clubs or associations or friendships? What's your purpose? And if it's diametrically opposed to ours, we go, oh, that's nice. Bye now. But it's like, oh, yeah, that's my purpose. And now all of a sudden we bond because of our similarity of purpose, that common purpose. Now it makes sense to me that when we get an idea that interests us, oh, that's cool, that's interesting, I want to think about that. And then we get to the point of, you know what? I want to create that. I want to bring that into physical manifestation. I want to pursue that idea. If we could determine our purpose at multiple levels, we're going to be so much more effective at the manifestation. Maybe this idea, purpose is needed for manifestation, even applies to the person who is ill and wants to become healthy. If their purpose, this is what they think, is to, they want to fight the illness, they're in trouble. And so being sold that in advertising and in common language, we've got to fight this and we've got to fight that and we've got to fight the other thing. It's like, wait a minute, that's not constructive. That's not manifesting anything other than a fight. You don't want to do that. You don't want that as your purpose, to fight cancer, to fight poverty, to fight drugs, to fight terrorism. But the people who purvey that idea, who market that idea, who promote that idea, they profit from that idea. I think this brings us all the way back to what I consider our real purpose: to satisfy our soul's hunger for contact with God, divine consciousness. And I'd suggest that any manifestation that we want that is on the path to fulfillment of that purpose is going to be created much more easily, much more elegantly, much more satisfyingly than if we go in the direction that our ego would suggest is what we want to do. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Wouldn't you think knowing that is at every single level of our being would be a great purpose? We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.